What's up, everybody? This is Ryan Wilcox.
And this is John Holly coming at you with another podcast of Sports 360.
Sports 360!
Lot going down in the sport world this past week.
Everything I'm ready to talk about here.
Yeah, had some touchy feelings in the house today.
That's an understatement, John.
Came downstairs to the end of the basement of the ERC. You know, really, really had to give a nice warm hug to my friend Ryan over the loss last night. But we'll get into that once we progress.
Thanks, John. That meant a lot.
Yeah.
I was going through some tough times today.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. we'll get some tissues in here. Starting things off. Postseason MLB. October is here. We've waited all...
Rocktober was here.
We've been waiting all season for this, and it's finally here. Kicking things off with the AL wildcard game, the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins.
Yes. That game ended up to be... Did you catch...
I watched the first couple of innings. I was like, all right.
So I'm working in CL1. Mm-hmm. That's my job, everybody. and so I've got a sweet setup where I can, like, I've got TV going.
Got your feet up on,
you know, I can pull the live feeds legally. And I'm sitting there doing homework, and all of a sudden, no way. Oh my goodness. It's out of here. Yeah. What? No way. And that's just how that game went for me.
Yeah.
Just kept going, no way. This is for real.
I think it was more surprising because I saw a stat somewhere saying Minnesota was the only team from going to last place to the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, they had 100 losses.
Yeah.
Last season.
They still,
and then they made the...
Still made it somehow.
The wild card.
Yeah. First inning was interesting. Minnesota hits a 3-run home run, leaving the Yankees down 3-0 in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, their pitcher, Luis Severino, was their prized rookie pitcher.
Not a happy camper
that
night.
They said, you know what, this guy's got emotions tough as nails. Mm-hmm. He's going to hunker down. He's going to take us through this game.
All right.
He only made it through one out.
Yeah.
Not even out of the inning. Just one out.
Yeah. How can you let up 3 runs in one out? I don't know. But he was not happy.
You watched his stuff, man. He just hung a slider in the zone.
Yeah.
His fastball, he couldn't paint the corners.
Really,
which is
hittable pitches.
The theme of this wild card series is no one could paint the corners.
Right.
So Luis Severino booted after one out in going through a pretty hefty part of the lineup. Minnesota goes up 3-0 on them, and you know Yankee Stadium's just quiet.
Yeah,
you know, just with the little murmur.
Yeah,
no one's really going to talk about it. Yeah, it was weird,
To say the least.
So then, New York comes up to face Edwin Santana, which is Minnesota's prize prospect. He took care of business all season long. He's got six stuff. And the fun fact is that Edwin Santana's worst outing in his career was at Yankee Stadium. And they asked him about it earlier. And they were like, in the six games you've played here, you've had 5 losses, 1 no decision. What do you think? And he's like, tomorrow's going to be a W.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay.
That's a bold statement.
Big talk from this guy.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he only made it through 2 innings.
Yeah.
And he, as compared to just giving up a straight 3-run homer like Severino did, which cost him the game after giving up 2 more hits after that, his was more speckled throughout. So he got an out, then gave up a hit, then a home run, and then got an out, gave up another home run, got the out. So it just didn't look as bad as it did for Severino, but he performed just as equal.
Bottom line is he delivered, though. I mean, he backed up his talk, which I think is a major part of it. I mean, they did get the W, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The So,
and one thing I'd like to note, after going 3-0 in the top of the first, the camera pans to the Yankees dugout and you just see Aaron Judge and Joe DiNiero. What's his last name? Girardi. And they're just panning across the dugout and they just look like, you know, the look of despair would just like set in on their faces. And you couldn't help but feel it for them, you know, being, you know, because the Yankees hadn't made it to the postseason last year, I don't think.
No.
And making it this year, especially in their home stadium, and then going 3-0 in the top of the first. I mean, people don't realize how big of a hit that is to them.
Yeah. So then they turned around and the Yankees put up 3. So at the end of the first, like 45 minutes had elapsed and it was 3-3.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is going to be a long game.
Yeah.
So then Minnesota's up back to bat. And so then who pitched for them in relief? Mr. Green here, Chad Green, filled in for them and was able to kind of hold down the inning. And so then Minnesota didn't score anything in the top. And then it was back to the bottom, and it was the Yankees' turn to go up to hit. And you know, Edwin Santana's the pitcher, and then he got pulled in that inning after they scored another run.
Yeah.
So, and I believe that wasn't when I'm trying to think of when Aaron Judge hit his home run. That wasn't until later in the game, right?
I want to say the fifth or the seventh.
The fifth or seventh. Yeah, no, it was the seventh.
Seventh,
right.
Yeah, seventh inning.
So then they both went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pitchers, and then the Yankees went through 5 pitchers, and it just was a back and forth effort. So then the Yankees scored 1 at the bottom of the second. They both split a score in the third, so it's 4-5 Yankees leading. Then in the fourth, that's when I'm pretty sure that's when Aaron Judge hit his 2-run home run.
Sealed the deal.
Do your thing that cracked me up last week. All rise.
All rise, yeah.
All rise for Aaron Judge.
Number 99.
That was...
All rise. Judgment Day. Judgment Day came. The other day.
Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So then after Aaron Judge, all rise, hit his 2-run home run in the bottom of the fourth, that's when the game kind of broke open.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees weren't able to... the Twins weren't able to do anything else.
Yeah, it was all, after that all Yankees inning. Out through those later innings. And final score was what?
4-8.
4-8.
Yankees won after... just an awful start to the game.
Really up and down, yeah. Really inconsistent from both teams. And they go to play, who do they play after that? The winner of Cleveland and Houston?
No. They play that number one seed.
Oh, the number one seed, right.
Which is Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
Because it's Boston and the Astros.
Houston, yeah, right.
Yeah, so they're on to play Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Who do you think is going to take that game?
Ooh.
Best of five.
Best of five.
Best of five.
I'm going to have to go Yankees in 2.
You're going
to... No, that's a joke.
Oh, I was like, okay.
People say that all the time on Twitter. Like, 2017 NBA Finals, everyone was like Cavs in 2, you know?
Yeah.
It was just funny. Let's get down to brass tacks here. Cleveland is an experienced team in the postseason.
Yeah.
You saw how long that winning streak was. Leading up to October. 23 wins. Coming best in the AL. I don't think it was the best all time.
All time belongs to the 1918 Giants.
Right.
With 27 straight wins.
27 straight wins.
But that's back when they used to actually play with hammers instead of wooden baseball bats.
Yeah.
So the contrast.
A little more primitive back then. Yeah. So you'd expect the Cleveland Indians to stay hot.
Right.
Not just fall apart like they did in the 2016 World Series.
just got to throw that in there.
Yeah, 3-1
lead.
Throw
that in there.
3-1 lead. I'd like to see the Yankees win.
Right.
But after struggling against a team like Minnesota, you know, in you know the playoff berth game, you know, that's setting you further.
they actually have the pitching?
Do they have the Yeah, do they have?
They no doubt, hands down, have the best bullpen in the majors.
Right.
Hands down.
Hands down.
But if you're starting pitching, can't...
Yeah. Starting...
That bullpen's going to be taxed.
Starting's one thing. Cleveland has one of the best relief pitchers ever. I mean, and, you know, especially going against a guy like Corey Kluber, who's up for the Cy Young.
Yes.
You know, I love him and I hate him. I respect him as a pitcher because he's good. I just don't like him because he's on Cleveland's team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Yankees. Hot take.
You are going to take the Yankees.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's I probably won't see it through, but, you know, gotta keep hope, you know.
Wow. Well, I think because Cleveland has starting pitching depth,
mm-hmm.
they may not have the perfect bullpen. Bullpen. I just think if your starting pitcher can lock down six innings,
yeah.
it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
If he can prevent as many RBIs, runs, hits, anything.
And yeah. if you're going to take Severino over Kluber, I know that's just one game.
Yeah.
I just, Cleveland's good.
You got to be realistic with yourself.
Cleveland's good. I'm glad you took the Yankees. You can't. With a bullpen that can bail them out like they did that game.
Right.
No runs scored after the third inning. And they only let one. So they gave up three,
mm-hmm.
replaced the pitcher, and then only gave up one more run after that.
Right.
That bullpen is nails.
Yeah.
With a capital N. Nails.
I don't know how they're going to top it, honestly.
So, unless Aaron Judge and company... can
if they can get enough offense,
get in the courtroom, yeah. the Kluber room, and have their way.
Verdict?
Guilty.
Guilty. Yeah. of all crimes.
Of all crimes committed against Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to win in that city.
All right. Time to move on to the heartbreaker.
Okay.
I'll start it, don't worry.
Okay.
Last night. man, let's talk about last night. Arizona, Colorado, NL wildcard game. Just a really stunning loss. I mean, people were expecting Arizona because they're also a very deep team. Did very well leading up to the game. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're gonna have kudos to Colorado. I mean, they're very. I mean, if you look at the MVPs, you know. They just have a really good, solid hitting. I mean, you have Ian Desmond, a lot of great pitchers, too. You know, I couldn't name them all because, you know, that's kind of your area expertise. But, Coors.
I'm ready to talk about this game.
All right. So, top of the first. Same scenario like the Yankees and Minnesota. Arizona hits a three-run bomb off of Paul Goldschmidt. 3-0, Arizona. Things are looking bleak.
Goldie. Paul Goldschmidt was going into that game 0-17. John Gray has been good.
Yeah, you had to be justified in your expectations.
His past four games.
Right.
His ERA is 1.56. And the game started off weird, you know, hit. Paul Goldschmidt comes up. He's in a drought. And I just did not think he didn't even his hit off that bat did not look like he even tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sailed in that gimmick ballpark they call Chase Field. Ugh.
Man. And then the second inning, Arizona scores another run.
So Gray was able...
Marte tripled deep to right center and Peralta scored. So there's the RBI for Arizona.
Yep.
Gray
did not get out of that.
However,
inning.
Right after that, Goldschmidt and Martinez struck out. So, I mean, that was kind of a clap back, you know, answer right in your face.
Yep, from Tyler Anderson, I believe.
Okay.
Tyler Anderson's got some, it's just because I know this team well.
Right.
But Tyler didn't, Scott Olberg, of all people, is who Bud Black put in to fill in for John Gray. And Scott Olberg, who's had an okay year, struck out Goldschmidt and Marte back-to-back to get out of that second inning.
Mm-hmm.
And we, on hashtag Rockies Twitter, we all were like, yep, Oberg's who we always thought should be in this position all year long.
Right.
Just not true. He just, wow, that was, when they, Oberg came in and struck them both out. What I liked about that is that he wasn't afraid to pitch inside.
Mm.
The difference is that Gray was trying to paint the corners and left them all in the zone.
Right.
In those first 21 pitches, 18 of them were strikes, but it doesn't matter if he gets strikes or not. If they're not good strikes, it doesn't matter.
They got to be meaningful.
They're going to hit,
yeah,
just like they did.
Right.
So Scott Oberg comes in and just pitches inside, strikes them both out to end the inning. And I was like, in the bottom. And I was like, okay, 4-0. Can't count us out. We've been here before. Okay. Against Greinke, of all people.
Right.
And I'm like, we took down Kershaw. We took down some big names.
The Dodgers,
like
of all people. You know, one of the best teams in the league, you know.
I know. So I was like, we can do this.
Right.
We can do this. And so then, top of the third, nothing.
Not much happened.
They go into the bottom of the third, and Arizona starts to have, well, here's the thing.
Hits to right.
They put in Chatwood in the third, or not Chatwood, Anderson, Tyler Anderson in the third, because they used a pinch hitter in the top of the third to get some bats going, because they had a person on base. So they had person on first and second, and nothing of that came through. So then bottom of the third, Tyler Anderson's pitching. He's got a fun little leg kick, and it's supposed to throw the hitters off. But Arizona was locked in.
Two-run homer, 6-0. Man.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I mean.
6-0 off of Tyler Anderson, who has the lowest exit velocity contact in the majors, with an exit velocity of 85.6 miles per hour, I think. So in a gimmick ballpark like Chase Field, he doesn't give up home runs. And so when he gave up a home run, I was like, where's this game coming to? This is so...
Come on, man.
What the heck?
Come on.
I was like, who do I sell my soul to get some runs for this game? Seriously.
What do you got
to
do? All right. Moving on to the top of the fourth. This is where things get interesting.
Finally.
This is where they start picking up the momentum. Parra singles to center. And your boy, Nolan Arenado.
The Sandblaster.
Scores, and then Story to third. So, things are picking up.
And then...
a little bit of a clapback. We're getting some runs in. So, it's 1-6.
So, it was Gonzalez who singled. Arenado brought him in to score. Parra hit up again, brought him in to score. Reynolds didn't get anything going. And then... of all people, Jonathan Lucroy had himself a terrific game and then scored in Gerardo Parra. So I was like, okay, we got some stuff going here. And then by that time, they were like, nope, okay, Zach, you're out. Switched out pitchers.
Ouch. Out.
And the pinch hitter, Alexi Amarista, also known as Little Ninja, came up and smacked another double in. Lucroy scores. It's 4-6 now. Charlie Blackman's up to the plate, strikes out. End of inning. And I was like, ugh. But at least we got some runs.
You got them walking. Moving past the fifth, rest of the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning. Not a lot happened. Moving to the top of the seventh, Rockies making a comeback.
Yep. Jonathan Lucroy starts the inning, or not starts it. Ian Desmond. Strikes out.
He doubles deep to center, though.
Who did?
Lucroy.
Lucroy. Yeah. So Desmond strikes out. Lucroy doubles. And I was like, all right, come on, Lucroy.
Okay. I see you.
I see this. It's 4-6. We got this. Charlie Blackman had a long at-bat fighting back and forth. I can't remember which pitcher it was. But going back and forth with him. And then finally, at the last minute, he laid down a... LaCroix, yeah, he went from second. There was a passed ball, so then LaCroix stole third. There we go.
It was Ray pitching for Arizona.
Yeah. So then Blackman has been fouling off like a couple of balls, and then out of nowhere, he lays down a sack bunt along the first baseline. LaCroix comes in to score, and Charlie Blackman just missed the bag to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But LaCroix scores. Now it's 6-5, and now we have ourselves a game.
Moving down to the bottom of the seventh, not a lot happened for the first at-bats. And then Bradley triples to deep center. Lamb and Descalo score. New score is 8-5. Two runs, two hits for the bottom of the seventh. Moving to the top of the eighth, where the Rockies answer back again. This was just back and forth the whole game.
I lost my mind.
I mean, that's what makes a game.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
The Sandblaster, Nolan Arenado, and then Trevor Story.
424 feet, man. Man.
Dude, Nolan hit that, and it looked exactly like the game 3 weeks earlier, where a fan in the Arizona, they have a weird setup to their seating in the, the fancy part.
Right.
Where, usually you have, the brick wall, then the netting's there, and then everything behind there are seats. Well, in Arizona, the wall is pushed back about 7 feet, and then you have, like, level seating with the ground that you're able to, like, watch, ground floor,
right,
what's going on.
Right.
So there was a fan there that was, I'm pretty sure, said some racist stuff to Arenado and just ticked him off. Mm-hmm. And he jacked, like, center field home run for, like, 464 feet.
Yeah.
It was, like, insane and, like, brought in three runs. And I was like, get jacked! And that swing looked exactly like what he did there. So Nolan Arenado, solo home run. Next person up, Trevor Story, who's been starting to get hot lately.
Back to back.
Hits another solo home run, and I was like, this is it. And I was like, give me a champagne bottle. This is happening.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
New score is 7-8 after
they change pitchers.
Story.
Rockies couldn't do anything after
Story,
that.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We back-to-back home runs, 7-8. We got this.
Moving into the bottom of the eighth, after a couple at-bats.
Pat Neshek, okay, is pitching for the Rockies here, and he was like our prized acquisition from the deadline. He's got an ERA of 1.2. Awesome pitcher. Has a funky windup, and it just looked like Neshek was going to take care of business. And he gets the first two outs and walked a batter, which you're not supposed to do that, obviously. Yeah. So you give a free base.
That's a no-no.
Okay. And then another guy gets a single. And then you've got Archie Bradley, who's the pitcher. And that was a full count. And Neshek somehow couldn't put his slider down below his knees. So then Archie Bradley looked like he blooped, swung it, and it ended up going over Parra's head in left field. And that's Triple Alley right there.
Triple Alley.
Oh, so ticked.
Neither team went on to score again after that, ending the game.
The Rockies did. In the top of the ninth.
Right. Gonzalez singled to center.
Desmond of all games finally singled to get on base.
Right.
Stole a base, got on third, and then someone pinch hit. So then Desmond was able to come in after a bobble in the infield. So
right.
Desmond came in, scored. I was like, okay, well, rally. Of all people I want up, it's gonna be our boys, Blackman, LeMayu, Gonzalez, and if we're lucky, Nolan Arenado to steal the game. So then
things didn't turn out that way.
Blackman, I love him so much. NL batting title winner.
Mm-hmm.
He was hitting at everything. Foul.
Well, you have to at that point,
Made a Mr. Arrow Man just looks silly. And 10 pitches later, he threw a slider that was already going into the dirt 2 feet in front of Blackmon, and he already was going through a swing. And I was right. like, Charlie.
No.
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 Not LeMahieu.
Right.
LeMahieu is consistent, but he's not flashy. And LeMahieu, you know, grounded out to second. And I was like, Cargo, this might be his last game in a Rockies uniform. And I was like, let me see that sexy swing one more time.
Yeah.
Got on base, was able to draw a walk, and got on base. And I was like, Sandblaster.
Yeah.
Here we go. And Nolan fought through the, you know, that the count. And then just grounded out to the shortstop, flipped it over to second, and there's the game.
Yeah. Final score, 8-11, Arizona. Moving on.
Just to note here is that with these games, these wild cards games that happen, like they're crazy. And
yeah, they're called wild for a reason. Yeah.
The pitching matchups are just insane.
Yeah.
The four Rocky pitchers that were supposed to close out are... John Gray couldn't make it through 2 innings. You had Pat Neshek, who blew a run follow to a pitcher that got a triple. You had Tyler Anderson, who never gives up home runs, give up a 2-run blast. Mm-hmm. And then you had Greg Holland, who was, you know, the shutdown closer, tied for the saves in the NL, 41 saves. Couldn't locate a slider and gave up 2 more runs in that top of the 8th, which ended up really sinking in kind of the reality to the Rockies.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because going in before the game, we were all like, are the Rockies going to be able to hit? Because we're all freaking out about that. And it turns out the one thing that was stable all throughout the season was the pitching was the one that ended up not being able to close the game out.
Yeah.
Ugh. But all in all...
I mean,
I'm glad we made it to the postseason.
Yeah, had a great season.
It was fun to cheer on the Rockies and be on Rockies Twitter and just enjoy winning.
Hey,
for the first time.
2018 is right around the corner.
Since 2010.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. Good run for them.
Yeah.
Moving on to the NBA preseason. Speaking of which, did you hear about the new rule about All-Star games?
No.
No, okay.
Tell us in the average listener what's happening in the All-Star game.
So, per usual in the previous years, All-Star games have been chosen by, let's say, like last year, you had Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley, and they picked their favorite players, or you had the best players in the East and the West pit against each other.
Right.
Now, we're going back to playground rules. We are getting 2 team captains, one from the East and the West.
Whoa!
Picking the best players they want, and pitting the each other. I don't know if you're in the West, you can only pick players from the West, or I'm not sure.
I don't think that even matters anymore.
I don't think so. So you just pick any player. So this has the capacity or potential to bring up bias, a lot of like you know rumors and kind of bad blood. Because if you have
and
like,
NBA street rules, so they can like elbow each other. And, like,
I'm not sure it goes that far, but
okay.
So you have like the situation: does if KD becomes the team captain, does he pick Russell Westbrook, or you know,
no?
All these interesting.
He doesn't. We already talked about this,
right? All these interesting dynamics. There was a lot of pre matchups like. Steph Curry as a captain, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or you know whoever.
Right.
So it brings in an interesting dynamic to the All-Star game, which usually is kind of trivialized. Players are just having fun. It's fun to watch. I mean, you have the best players in the league.
Oh, for sure.
From the Western and Eastern going against each other.
That will be interesting to see if any bad blood arises again.
It's really
so. Could you imagine it? Oh, geez, that would be crazy.
It's a game of intentions, really.
Because if KD and Russell are on opposite sides, could you imagine, like, they're going to go to town?
Right. Hopefully, I mean, most of the time.
It's going to be like an NBA jam all over again.
Right. I mean, most of the time it's played, you know, in good fun. It's an all-star game.
It's not going to be
It's not the finals, right.
They're going to kill each other.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the basic premise of the new all-star game layout.
That's cool. Yeah. It should be a little bit more exciting.
It's refreshing, yeah.
It's weird that these games that are supposed to highlight the best players in each league, no one really watches any of them.
Mm, yeah.
The NFL, no one watches the Pro Bowl.
Because it doesn't really hold any value.
The NHL, no one watches. Well, they changed up their format last year, and that was actually fun to watch.
Right.
Where they went 3-on-3, and they went by the best in each division. Right. So that was actually pretty cool. But then you have like the NBA, like no one watches that.
Mm-mm.
The All-Star game, NASCAR,
the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Pro Bowl and NASCAR are like on the same level. Like no one watches that All-Star race.
Makes no left turn. You know.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then what was it? Major League, but no one watches the All-Star game.
No.
Besides, they had some cool shirts and some cool
hats.
The
Home Run Derby is interesting.
Yes. But the game itself,
Giancarlo and...
people watch the dunk contest.
Right.
But the game itself, like, no one cares because everyone knows they don't
the
try.
The point totals are up in the 120s and 30s. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
There's just no one cares. I mean, it's like James Harden on defense.
Oh.
Ouch.
Woo.
Man, can't play.
He's heating up.
Both ends of the floor. Heat check.
Jeez.
Moving on to the preseason scores. You know,
just for... an editor's note to everybody who's listening. The Denver Nuggets are 3-0. And I think that should indicate how this season's going to go.
Foreshadowing.
Undefeated, 82-0, NBA Finals champions. That's it. You heard it first here.
All right. Let's move on.
Oh, that's
I'm just kidding.
Some heavy bias here.
Leading the Eastern is Washington, which is weird because the Western, Denver's 3-0, and the most games that have been played... in the Eastern. Maybe it's a scheduling thing.
Probably.
Not sure.
Not everybody plays the same amount of games.
Yeah. You know, it's preseason. But yeah, leading the Eastern is Washington, and obviously leading the Western is Denver beating Golden State yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting to see how some of these new rookies and, you know, prospects, trades, et cetera, have been situating out. It's weird to see Gordon Hayward and Kyrie playing in those white and green. I know you're a fan of those jerseys. It's just weird to see.
Yeah.
You know, especially Dwayne Wade, you know.
With the Bulls.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but now with OKC.
Cleveland.
I mean, no, sorry, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
My bad. Wow.
Just plowing them around with LeBron James, reminiscent of the Miami days. But, you know, it's weird.
I think we talked about it a little bit before, but either all those guys on that Cavs team is going to tear their ACLs and be in their tire.
Yeah.
Or they are weirdly the most stacked team in the league.
Yeah, I did hear a little bit of Tristan Thompson starting instead of J.R. Smith, which was a little controversial because J.R. Smith is can be a very clutch player.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a clip of him playing for the Nuggets and just soaring over the paint and just dunking over everyone.
Him and Kenyon Martin and, oh, man, Chauncey Billups is on that team. Anthony.
Allen Iverson, man.
Oh, Allen Iverson, the rebound king. Oh, my gosh.
Throwback to those days.
It just, those were good years.
Other than that, not much else to talk about the preseason. I mean, preseason's preseason, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State's 0-2. I mean.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Hangover.
Red flags.
Hangover.
Yikes.
We'll update you guys on that. coming eventually.
Stay tuned.
Another big basketball story. I mean, I know you hate to talk about this. I just need to bring it up, okay?
Okay, go for it.
LaVar Ball pulling out his son out of high school because he disagrees with his coach.
Oh, man.
Plans to homeschool him for the next 2 years until he plays for probably UCLA. You know, just because they're big ballers, you know. So, I mean, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I think LaVar Ball perfectly encapsulates the soccer mom or soccer dad on the bleachers.
This dude.
Getting way too involved in a trivial sport, you know.
Nothing against homeschooling. It definitely serves a purpose for families that need it.
Right.
Or searching for an alternative. Anyways.
But to pull him out.
But LeVar Ball just continues to pile and pile and pile up these stupid antics of you disagree with your coach, so you're pulling your son out of school so you can train him one-on-one? Well,
what do you think prospects are
and what was your stats in the NBA?
Yeah.
Average 2 points a game.
If that.
Oh, my goodness.
What are college recruiters going to think? Like,
dude.
I mean,
I don't know if you
I think at this,
if you want to clamor to the attention or stay away from it.
Right. I was just going to highlight the attention. I think it's all, like, at this point, or maybe it's been the whole, you know, situation with the Balls. It's just been brand and name recognition and just being in the spotlight, you know, because everyone knows the name LeVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is going to get you money and, you know, attention.
Maybe more attention than just money.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got the branding thing and, you know.
But this just came into my mind here. What if he's been like this the whole time?
What do you mean?
And, well, until that ESPN interview, no one had no clue.
Right, yeah. He just turned it on then, you know.
Maybe he turned it on then. Or what if he's really, now this is a stretch here. I'm not going to say an awful person because he's not. He's an entrepreneur. He's a big boss.
He's a businessman. Yeah.
He's trying his best, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But what if he's been like this the whole time? Always up to antics.
Do you think he's like had an alter ego or something? Like he's not actually like this at home?
Because sometimes he sat down his whole team or like left that basketball game because he didn't like the ref's decision.
Yeah, that's
And I'm like, dude, okay, you got to play the rules of the game and not just get fussy when you don't have everything, like anything go your way.
Yeah, right.
So sometimes I just go back and forth of being like, sometimes all the negativity is undue, but then sometimes I'm like, what if he's always been like this?
What if
he's asking for it?
Right. You gotta call him out when, you know, he kind of deserves it in some areas. He's almost like a reminiscent. He's just this. He says things. He's got this collar commentary about him. He says things because he knows it's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's this. Trying to think of the word. He's like this. He's not aggressive, but he's provocative in what he does.
Is he the Donald Trump of the NBA?
I was just thinking that. You know, he says things to get attention, and a lot of people, you know, I really question the people that actually like support him, and they got their Twitter headers, and they got the three ball brothers right there, you know,
with the Confederate flag,
Lakers,
wrapped around it.
UCLA, you know, all that. You know, I mean, I struggle to understand any fan.
How you justify
anything
being a big
do.
Fan of him.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's all clout and it's just all fake to me, yeah. You know, I don't know.
But if he's got a clout score that's over 80, he can pretty much get whatever he wants.
Right. I mean, if we're talking 2K ratings right now,
2K.
that's
okay. Okay.
Yeah. You know.
I see that. All right. Well,
moving on
to something a little bit more mellow,
a little more, rational.
The NHL just started their regular
season
last night.
It's preseason, baby. Let's go.
No, regular season.
Oh, regular season.
They finished their preseason
on
the 4th.
Last podcast, right?
Yeah.
It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm out of it.
Yep. They started their season last night. And so let me just give you the rundown. The Maple Leafs beat the Winnipeg Jets 7-2. 7-2. Almost like, oh. They're not messing around after not being that pretty last year.
Spit up my water there. Spit take.
Then you have the Blues, who beat the Penguins in overtime, 5-4. Then you have the Flames, who lost to the Oilers, 3-0. And you had the Flyers, who beat the Sharks, 5-3. Now, the only things I want to point out from these, I think it's obvious that the Leafs have a great point padding to their season right now.
Right.
The Jets went through two goalies. Mr. Mason, who's been around in the league forever, 5 goals against, 20 saves attempts, 15 saves at a .750 save percentage, which is atrocious. Then Clint Hellebuck came in there, 12 goals against, 12 save attempts, 9 saves for a .818 save percentage, which in hockey, for the average listener, you're considered a, like, a, the average is a .850 percentage.
Right.
You're extremely good when you hit that above 900 threshold. And so to just a .750 for Mason, who's been in the league for a long time, it just is not a pretty start to the season for them. And then also of note is that the Flames and Oilers game, that was just funny because all it was the McDavid show.
Right.
Connor McDavid, first game hat trick. Like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So Oilers are just going to, again, they're going to be good this year, as they should. They have the best, one of the best players in the NHL. And they have a pretty nice team to back them up. So you just can't fault them from that. And then I thought it was interesting that, let's see here, the Blues and Penguins, 5-4 in overtime. Jake Allen, 4 goals against, 33 saves, 29 shots against, 29 saves, 8.879, so that's pretty good. But then the Penguins, who lost the game in overtime, Sidney Crosby had a goal, Mata had a goal, Schultz had a goal. Not too bad here for them. And then Matt Murray, who's going to be their feature, had, you know, again, average, .853. 5 goals against, 34 shot attempts, 29 saves. So I know these are, like, kind of drabby numbers, but, like, so I know it's just the first games of the season here, right. But I was like, those were some not pretty games.
And speaking of the start of the season, obviously mm-hmm. people are going to have their preseason odds,
yes,
or regular season odds to win the right. 2018 Stanley Cup.
One more note really fast. Another person, sure, Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers, had a hat trick yesterday as well. 3 goals, 3 shots on goal. So he was 1-for-1 with every shot he took.
Right.
I just wanted to point that out. I thought that was really interesting with the Claude Giroux, you know, the captain of that team, had a goal as well in their win against the Sharks. But that was one thing I wanted to point out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hat tricks are definitely impressive. So here are the following 5 teams that have 12-1 odds to win the best. To the best odds to win the 2018.
Let me guess.
Stanley Cup. Go for it.
I'll give you 5 guesses.
Sure.
It's okay. Penguins?
They're on the list, but they're not 12-1.
Oh.
So.
Oilers?
They're 8-1.
Okay. Blackhawks.
Blackhawks are 1.
Okay. Let me see here. The Rangers?
No.
No. Dang it. All right, hang on. You just tell me now. Now I look stupid.
So, as you mentioned before, the Oilers are 8-1.
Okay.
You got the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, the Wild.
Maple Leafs, Blackhawks, Capitals, and the Lightning. All 12-1.
The Lightning. Okay, I see that.
Best odds are 7-1 Penguins. They're looking to three-peat.
Okay.
They're looking to reclaim the title. And I think it's interesting that the NHL is one of the few sports that it's possible to go back-to-back and back, you know, because, you know, we're all familiar with, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls,
right.
Consecutive NBA titles. Mm-hmm. MLB and AHL are one of the few ones that you rarely ever see. You're yes. always going to have a different winner, you know.
The reason is because the turnover is so big.
Right.
In both leagues.
And the MLB has the longest season out of any sport. So,
correct.
You know.
And what's interesting is that the MLB doesn't have a salary cap as to where the NHL does.
Right.
So you would figure they would dish out more money to, you know, keep the players that make a difference.
There. Right.
But it is interesting, though. The NHL, it is just like with any sport, man. It's, you can have a really good season one year, and then the next year you can stink and then lose your spot.
Right.
And so with the NFL and NBA, there's a little bit more consistency in the dynamics of a team as compared to the NHL and MLB, which relies heavily on farm systems.
Right.
So if this player's not performing, or you can get a better deal for this guy, they switch him up. but as well as because their seasons are, MLB is so long, you're more prone to injuries.
Right.
Just like the NHL, you've got, you know, a lot of hits. You know, it's just, they not like they require more than the NBA and NFL.
Which
but
I
the
think,
dynamics of how the teams are structured are way different.
Yeah, I think the NBA and the NFL are way too, I mean, I think they're more team-oriented. I mean, I think you're mm-hmm. more reliant on more people. And I think an interesting question to ask is, out of the four major sports, you know, with the MLB having the longest season,
okay,
which sport do you think has the most frequent trades? Which one has the most call-up of players? I mean, swapping out, trading, you know, I think, because the NBA has a lot of, like, monumental trades, but that doesn't mean they have the most.
Right. And so the NFL has, like, you know, you can call it from the practice squad, but that practice squad is only consisting of 11 players.
And they're still with the team, you know.
Right. The NBA, you can sometimes work it out if you have a D-League contract to pull up players from
right,
the D-League,
right.
but that's not standard across the board.
MLB has AAA, you know.
AAA, AA, single A. Like, they've got everything there. And then the NHL also has the same idea of AHL, OHL, UHL, CHL, QMJHL. Like, they've got quite a few leagues to pull from. The one that I believe the most trades occur is with the NHL.
Okay.
Baseball, here's the thing with baseball, though, is that if you have an issue, you can put them on a 10-day DL and hold them with the team.
Right.
The NHL, if something happens, you can't, it's like, oh, we can't just not have 15 players on roster tonight because everyone skates so much and it takes so much energy, not as compared to baseball because, you know, you're running around and stuff, but it's different with hockey. So more trades, more call-ups occur because of the fact that it's so taxing and so demanding
right.
on a team.
And, you know, every player and every franchise, general manager, whoever, they still have to come to agreements with contracts. I mean,
yeah.
Dwayne Wade with the Bulls, you know, they agreed to the buyout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's always those contract intricacies that people always look over. But, you know, that seems like a valid point with the NHL.
Yeah. And then also it's just that's also how the sport is kind of geared towards.
Right.
They rely heavily, heavily on their farm systems. Not like baseball doesn't, or not the NFL or, you know, NBA doesn't.
Yeah,
but
you just stand the game and make
the
judgment.
We see it every year. We have the Ice Hawks in our backyard, and last season, 13 guys were called up to the Blackhawks multiple times.
Right.
Multiple times.
Okay.
And so it's just the dynamic and how the league is geared is more heavy on, hey, next man up.
Right.
Hey, next man up. Hey, next man up. We don't have time to wait around on an injury.
Because, yeah, with the MLB and...
Because here's the thing, also real quickly, is that in the NHL, if you're averaging, let's say, 15 minutes a game on ice, you're skating around, you're hitting, you're moving around,
right.
you're getting to the puck, you're laying down hits. If your average has to go up to 20 minutes, that's five more minutes on ice, more exertion, more time. That's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot to take on. So where the NFL, you have a 40-second break after every play.
Yeah.
I know they have breaks, you know, all across the and you can balance out every statement I make, but it's just more taxing and more relying on
right.
other people to hold the weight.
Yeah, I think that's what makes them different. I mean, the Cubs, you know, have the Iowa Cubs, they're a AAA affiliate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the NHL and the MLB are more similar in that way because they both have farming systems in that way.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me, name a D-League for the NBA or the NHL, I don't think I could honestly name you one because I know of indoor football and I know, because
mm-hmm.
when I think, I conjure up an image of like, you know, Hard Knocks that, you know, you have the practice fields, you have like
the NFL,
you
yeah.
have bench
yeah.
players, and you know, you can just call those guys up and usually have your starters
mm-hmm.
or your first string guys that you rely heavily the most on because they're your
right.
best players, you know.
Yep.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you who the Bulls had on the Windy City Bulls, their D League team,
right.
and I couldn't tell you who the Broncos or the Bears had on their practice squad.
Right, because
it's not important.
Right. You know, you have,
with all due respect,
right.
it's not that important.
Because you have, I mean, one guy that comes to mind is Ian Happ. he played for the Iowa Cubs. Okay. He was called up and he did amazing. Yeah. You know, it's fun to see those transformations and you know that
the Rockies this year
potential coming to life. You know,
most of their rotation, their pitching rotation was all rookies because the four senior leaders of the team all one had cancer, one broke his leg, one had a hamstring injury, and then the other guy also had like a hand injury. So they had to rely a lot on rookies. So
which really shines to your depth and, you know, the future of that program. And, you know, it's always really, I think, trying to get into the mind of a general manager or coach to, like, you know, they're always planning ahead. You know, they always have guys to look forward to. And I think that's what makes that dynamic that much more interesting. So,
Yeah. And you see it here with the Ice Hogs, man.
Right.
You know, any guy you're watching on the ice to be called up to the Blackhawks the very next day, you can watch them score on TV the very next day.
It's kind of your rite of passage. Like, I have to play this well. You're taking your role more seriously. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Well, since we've been talking about the NFL, let's go over some scores, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bears Packers. The Packers beat the Bears 35-14 here, Chief. That wasn't a very pretty game. And has the suspension come out on Danny Trevathan yet? Or they're still trying to figure that one out?
I think he's got 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
2 or 3?
Something like that. 10 days.
That was a pretty nasty hit that Packer man took.
I mean, it's just...
I heard it hearing that through my TV. I was like,
Yeah.
Like every Midwesterner says, oop.
Yeah.
Oop.
Just
yikes.
If that isn't representative of the frustration, you know, what is, man? I mean, gosh, Mike Glennon, dude. Man, I was tweeting about him. I was like, snap a ball right.
My favorite
has no field vision. Can't read a defense.
Has the most fumbles in the NFL.
Oh man,
he throws a stupid interception, and not only that, John Fox said we didn't think it was a good time to put Trubisky in the game.
No, that makes.
Then
make
I was like,
sense.
When is a good time to put Trubisky
next
in the
week?
Game?
Okay,
in the Super Bowl? Like really? I don't think we're getting there right now.
Man, I mean, when Tampa made the trade to Chicago, he's like, that's the place he's got to play. Seems fitting, right? You know. Jeez. Goodness. All right, man. He's starting next week. We should be better with Mitch Trubisky. But, man, you know how you're wearing your football jersey. The Bears have the GSH on the right or left shoulders.
George Halas,
You know what that stands for?
What?
Glennon sucks hard.
Oh!
Ouch. I mean, I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
Dun, 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 dun!
I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Moving on.
He is awful. Also, talking about former Bears and soon-to-be former Vera Mike Glennon, the Dolphins were blanked by the Saints 20-0.
Ouch. Jay Cutler, where you at, man?
He's not playing football.
Not playing football.
A surprising score that I was like, whoa. The Panthers beat the Patriots 33-30.
That was an interesting game. I looked at the highlights.
Yeah.
Cam Newton... If he didn't play quarterback, he could very, 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 very easily be another Marshawn Lynch. He just runs through defenses like that, doesn't care if he's getting hit left or right.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the first quarterback that rushed 50 yards in a game or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So
good for him.
Definitely didn't do a justice to his receivers, but he did do a lot of running.
But you beat the Patriots.
And the Patriots defense, they did lose by a field goal.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cam Newton, I don't know if you heard post-game presser, a female reporter asked him about routes, and he's like, it's funny to hear a female talking about routes, and he's, he's like, he gives that kind of yikes face.
Whoa!
No sort of repercussions for that.
What?
Incredibly sexist comment. You should look at the video. It's hilarious.
Dude!
I didn't laugh because he was making fun of a female reporter, because that's just mean. You know,
she's just doing her job.
It was funny that he had the audacity to say that live in front of all those people. So it has no place in the NFL. I mean,
goodness gracious.
It was funny, just kind of like, he's an NFL player, he doesn't care, you know. It's funny.
What an idiot.
Right.
What an idiot.
Maybe he's just getting a little big in the head after beating the Patriots, but
someone needs to bop him on the head.
Right.
Sorry, nope, that wasn't a funny joke about CTE, I swear.
Yeah.
Anyways, this one, I kind of had to, like, squint my eyes a little bit. Texans 57, Titans 14.
Man, Deshaun Watson, he is a work of nature. I mean, he coming out of Clemson being, you know, national championship in 2016, man, he has great field vision. He's a great pocket passer.
Okay.
You know, he's got a head on, he's got a head on his shoulders. He can throw.
He's
throw
a human. That's good.
He's a human. Qualification number one, check. He can run when his offensive line opens the hole up. I mean,
yeah,
kudos to him. I mean, Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback, and I love him, but, you know.
Yeah.
Man, what was that score again? 56-10?
57-14.
Man, that's a beating.
Yikes!
I mean.
Swinkies.
Texans defense obviously didn't allow him any points either, but that was a good game as well.
Sorry. For those of you that love Scooby-Doo, I meant to say Zoinks and Jankies. Instead, I put it together and said Zoinkies.
Zoinkies.
That's the name of my new sports bottle drink.
Right.
Zoinkies. It's got electrolytes that you need. Anyways, moving on to the Steelers beat the Ravens 26-9. So they definitely bounced back from their loss against the Bears.
Yeah. Man.
That was crazy.
One thing. Antonio Brown was wide open on the left side of the field play. And Ben didn't throw it to him, and he had a tantrum on the sideline. He was like shoving people away, slapping hands away. You're like, dude, you got to calm down. You got to reserve your energy for the game. He's like, no, I'm not having any of that. You know,
dang.
So, and he was like, later apologized. I mean, we all like to be open. You're a great wide receiver. Excuse me. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You know, just chill out, man.
Yeah,
you'll have your time.
Yeah, and Big Ben's just got a. I know he's getting older, but he's still good.
Yeah, I mean,
so just give him
great
give him
offensive
a break.
Powers, passer. Yeah,
the battle for the worst played Bengals 31, Browns 7.
My team, man.
Oh, the Browns.
Did Deshaun Kizer play that game?
I'm not sure,
but
I'm not aware.
Rookie out of Notre Dame. You should put him in. Just like Mitch Trubisky. I mean, you might not know what would happen, but
he's with the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably. Well, what's another quarterback to them? Am I right?
Yeah, they've had like, what, 37 in the past 10 years?
Yeah.
Man, you got that whole long list of names. Yeah.
Lions beat the Vikings 14-7.
You know, I'm interested to see how.
Your call might be right from the beginning of the season.
Right.
The Lions might actually be a team.
I'm interested to see how far Matthew Stafford will go. I mean.
Yeah.
Not having Megatron anymore. I mean, you know, you got to look for other places to make offensive plays. And, man, they're getting it done.
The Cowboys suffered another loss, 35-30 against the Los Angeles Rams.
Los Angeles Rams, I think, number one offense in the league. If you're a fantasy owner of Todd Gurley, kudos to you. You made the right call. Him and Jared Goff are, you know, peanut butter and jelly, man. They know what's going on.
They look good.
I'm happy for that.
And those uniforms are nice.
Yeah, color rush, very nice.
I like it. Bills Falcons. Bills beat the Falcons 23-17.
Can you say underdog? Can you say dark horse? I mean, man,
dark horse.
Yeah. Do they have
coming to a film near you?
They have LeSean McCoy.
Movie near you.
Former
theater near you.
Philadelphia Eagle. Who's their quarterback?
The Bills.
Yeah.
I thought it was EJ. No, it's not EJ Manuel.
Oh, I can't name.
Whoa,
what's his name?
That's crazy. Though.
Either way, hot take: they're 3-1. Patriots are 2-2, leading the AFC East. I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting this, but
The Bills beat the Broncos and then beat the Falcons, arguably the two top five teams in the league.
Right.
I don't think the Bills are something to be messed with.
Shaking
anymore.
Up the rankings for sure.
And interestingly. After Rex Ryan leaves.
Yeah. Weird. Now he's between two Rexes. He's between two Rexes now.
Those commercials are awful.
Yeah.
I'm like, just go away, Rex. Yeah. Just get out of my sight. And the Eagles beat the Chargers 26-24.
I'm hopping on that Carson Wentz train, man. He's something
he's
special.
Good.
Yeah.
And the more he gets more comfortable in this league, the more he shines. And I think last year was a pretty good coming out party for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this year, although the Chargers aren't something to be like, wow,
yeah.
But it's a win's a win, dude.
Got to win against the Chargers, yeah.
My favorite thing was is that the Chargers had to put seat covers over their, like, top rows because no one's going to the game.
Right.
And then, you know, you have the thinking emoji that going, probably should have stayed in San Diego where people actually loved us. Well.
It's all about the dollar sign.
It's something.
Yeah.
Cardinals beat the 49ers 18-15.
I think Carson,
Palmer gets another win.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald caught that winning pass, I think.
Yep.
Good for them.
And then the Giants are sliding off the map.
What a sob story.
Bucks beat the Giants 25-23.
Build a bridge and get over it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
The Raiders lost to the Broncos 16-10, but that wasn't the only thing they lost. Derek Carr is out 6 to 8 weeks with
a back injury, yeah.
Spinal fracture. And I was surprised that he's able to come back.
Right.
And I watched that. I actually watched that game last night. I, like, DVR'd it and then watched it again. And it didn't even look like he got hit that bad.
No.
But it was... And he's got... Those quarterbacks have that thick padding around their abdomen.
Yeah, and he's a bigger guy. He's not like Ben Roethlisberger or Cam Newton.
And I know he was tackling him and, like, his knee, like, got to his back. And then his... I mean, I'm sure, hey, it's the no-fly zone for a reason.
But, right.
You know, he messed with his helmet a little bit. And I don't know how much that has to deal with just how your spine bends or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a stinger for sure. But how it developed into a fracture, I was like, so it really doesn't matter how much stuff you have around your body. If you're going to get hit, you're going to get hit now. And that's...
Yeah.
I just think about the...
Just got to rely on your offensive line, I think. And I'll say this. I mean, I'm a fan of Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I like him.
For a division rival, I think he's pretty cool.
Right. I think last year was kind of heartbreaking. Seeing him on the field, holding his leg. It's broke, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's promising this. He's a loyal guy. He went to Fresno State, I think, in California. Mm-hmm. You know, he's making all these promises to these fans. Now they just... After the acquisition of Marshawn Lynch and, you know, the AC...
Marshawn Lynch did not look good
no,
in that Broncos
the whole
game.
AC/DC thing, you know, maybe it's karma for Marshawn Lynch dancing on the sidelines.
Maybe.
Things
don't look good in Raider Nation right now, that's for sure. And Derek Carr, now you have to question after
thoughts
that
and prayers
big,
to Derek Carr.
That big contract is he a durable quarterback now?
Yeah, I mean... You got to be able to take the hits. I know. I remember seeing a clip of Peyton Manning getting hit, like getting pancaked, and it took him for a while to get up because he was an older quarterback at the time. But
yeah,
you know, durability is obviously the name of the game.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot you can say about that. Seahawks beat the Colts 46-18. That was a blowout.
That was a great game, man. Yeah. Russell Wilson was, you know, back in his prime, throwing great passes, connecting to his wide receivers. You know, good win for them.
Nice. And then. To cap it all off, the Monday night game, the Chiefs beat the Redskins 29-20 and take over as the only undefeated team left in
Kareem
the league.
Kareem Hunt leading the league in rushing yards. Man,
he looks good.
He is looking... I mean,
I cannot wait.
Fantasy owners are
them.
Probably pretty happy. Yeah, that'd be a great game. If they don't take the AFC, who will? Pats?
Broncos,
you know. Raiders?
Bills,
man.
So let's go, since we're talking about conferences, now let's go over the conference standings. AFC East, we've got the Bills 3-1, Jets 2-2, Patriots 2-2, and the Dolphins 1-2.
Biggest surprise there?
The Bills. Well, actually, no, the Patriots being 2-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Jets having a .500 record, too.
It might be the Madden curse.
Ooh.
I don't want to get into superstition, but...
Okay. All right, I hear you though. AFC West, Chiefs are 4-0, Broncos are 3-1, Raiders are 2-2, and the Chargers are a whopping 0-4. I think the biggest surprise there is the Chiefs. I just didn't think they were going to do so good, like as good as they're doing right now.
Right.
I didn't think they were going to blow the doors off everybody.
Yeah, I mean... One guy to look out for is Travis Kelce. That guy is an animal.
He's a good tight end.
Right.
AFC North, Steelers 3-1, Ravens 2-2, Bengals 1-3, Browns 0-4. I think the biggest surprise there is that the Bengals cannot get anything together.
Yeah,
and their one win comes against the worst team in the NFL.
Right, you gotta like measure how important these wins are to you. And, you know, the ones that are the most substantial anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy Dalton hasn't really gotten things together. Yeah,
And you've got that backup Alabama quarterback on the sideline.
Right. Is there a trade in the foreseeable future? You know, is he going to get benched? You know,
or do you think it's just time to get rid of Marty Lewis?
Right. And
he's been there he's the longest tenured coach, and they really haven't done much under him.
Haven't gotten much done. I've heard multiple sources say that if Andy Dalton can't get things done, they mm-hmm. might get a specific they've been saving a specific quarterback out in Los Angeles. I think his name is LeVar Ball. I mean, I've
heard, oh my god. Whoa.
Yeah, he's earned more.
You're
super
so oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Jeez.
He's on reserve.
Okay.
Have faith.
He's on reserve. All right, just wait, AJ McCarron, your time's coming.
Yeah.
The AFC South has got the Jaguars, the Texans, the Titans, all at 2-2, and the Colts 1-3.
This has appeared to be a more competitive conference than lately, because, you know, the Jags have been
for the past ever.
Past ever, yeah. Most
Since
of the teams.
Peyton Manning was a Colt,
right? Andrew Luck is coming back. He's practicing now after sustaining that injury. Biggest surprise for me is two things. Deshaun Watson performing incredibly well despite the circumstances of being a rookie and not having any experience in the bigger leagues. And the Jaguars. You got LeGarrette Blount and Leonard Fournette, both very suitable for this franchise. I think that's what they're looking for, and, you know.
How about that? Sean Kahn, the owner of the Jaguars, actually has a team on his hands.
Right. I mean,
way to go, guy.
Might not know what to do, yeah.
Which, tickets? What are these? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Money. All right. Moving on to the NFC. Eagles are 3-1. Cowboys are 2-2. Redskins are 2-2. Giants are 0-4.
Surprising things there. I mean, Giants, I mean, is it surprising? No. I mean, if they're doing poorly, they're doing poorly.
They weren't good last year.
Yeah.
The Redskins, I thought, were going to be a little bit better.
Right.
And then Dallas.
Dallas
is a disappointing one.
After seeing what happened to Ezekiel Elliott earlier this season, I mean, it's kind of expected.
It's true.
And then number one team in that league. Who was that again?
The number one team in the league? In the NFC?
Yeah.
Well, you got...
Oh, yeah, Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Oh, the quarterback.
The
Sorry.
Quarterback, right.
Sorry.
Surprising.
Wentzwagon.
Yeah, Wentzwagon. Surprising to see him do well, despite last season. He's just getting into the swing of things.
Yeah, but, you know, that was also the coach's first year there. They're getting
right.
used to things.
Got to adjust, so...
Yeah.
Good to see him do well.
The NFC West, Rams 3-1. Wow. Seahawks 2-2. Cardinals 2-2. 49ers... 0-4.
Not surprising to see them at the bottom of the barrel. Todd Gurley.
With Kyle Shanahan?
And Jared Goff doing amazingly well. I mean, number one offense in the league. Playing very well against the 49ers last game. You know, it's interesting to see them.
I just thought the Cardinals were going to be better.
You know, Carson Palmer is older. You know, he's, you know, what, 38, 39?
Yeah, he's getting up there.
All you really have is David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald on offense. And, you know, what are you going to do then?
I don't know. There's some guy.
Build a better team. Yeah.
Jeez, you got me with that LeVar Ball joke. That was good. NFC North, Lions 3-1. Packers 3-1. Vikings 2-2. The Bears 1-3.
Not much surprise there. You know, Packers are usually on top after sustaining a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nothing really out of the ordinary.
It's actually going to be a pretty good conference.
Pretty typical in the NFC North, yeah.
Yep. So we won't touch the Bears. NFC South, Falcons and Panthers are both 3-1. Bucks are 2-1 because of that. They still have to make up a game against the Dolphins from the Hurricane Maria. And the Saints are 2-2. this might be the conference that has the best record overall.
Right.
I think the only thing that I'm like...
AFC West?
Chargers are 0-4.
Oh, okay, okay.
3-1, 3-1, 2-1, 2-2.
Gotcha, gotcha.
I just think that... I don't know. Maybe it's because I just... initially, I always like the Saints because of Drew Brees and right. Sean Payton. And they just...
Hashtag 2009.
I know, I know. Hashtag Hurricanes.
Hashtag.
But... I'm just surprised that they still haven't gotten it together
especially
on
with,
all cylinders.
Especially with Adrian Peterson, you know,
yeah,
only playing with two teams and now playing mm-hmm. with the Saints and, you know, suffering that crucial loss against Minnesota was...
In that the Buccaneers look halfway decent.
James
the
Winston,
Panthers look
James
good
Winston,
again.
Yeah.
Falcons are cruising like they are.
Yeah. Probably win the NFC.
Probably.
Aside from the Packers.
We'll see.
That'll probably be the game for NFC Conference Championship.
Okay. All right, let's do a little quick buy and sell. I'm going to go through the Week 5 lineups
okay.
or matchups, and you're going to tell me if to pay, who's going to win, who's going to lose.
W's or L's?
W's.
W's.
Patriots, Buccaneers.
I'm going Pats.
Pats, okay. 49ers, Colts.
Colts, easy.
Jets, Browns.
Ooh, I think Jets are going to go 3-2.
Okay. Jags, Steelers.
I'm picking the upset. I'm going Jags.
Ooh, hot take.
Hot take.
Chargers, Giants. The battle of 0-4s.
Someone
has to win. What if I told you two teams could go
0-16-1? Do you think it's possible both of them could just like not score any points on each other?
Yes.
I'm going... Ooh. I feel sympathy for the Giants, but I kind of want to see them lose just because, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of deserve it in some sense. But let's go L.A. Chargers.
Okay. I was going to override you in case you said Giants.
Yeah.
Bills, Bengals.
Bills. I think they're going to stay hot over Andy Dalton and their offense.
Battle of 3-1s, Panthers and Lions.
Panthers and Lions. That is an interesting game. I'm going Lions. I think Matthew Stafford has it together finally. And
okay.
Now is the season. Now is his time.
What do you call the score of that game?
Ooh. I think both of them have good offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going a little higher on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go...
As you should.
Right. Man. 35 Lions.
Mm-hmm. He's crying right now. Give him some time.
Yeah. 25 Panthers. Okay. They'll score 3 touchdowns and then a field goal. Right. No, this is 24. 24, right.
Yeah.
One off.
It's okay.
Can't add.
It's okay. Titans, Dolphins.
You know, Cuddy's my guy, but got to go with Marcus on this one.
Okay.
Titans over.
Cardinals, Eagles.
Cardinals, Eagles. I'm going Wentz wagon.
Ooh.
Let's go, Eagles.
Cardinals over, will go 2-3.
Over the Cardinals.
Noted. Ravens, Raiders.
Not to show bias here, but I want to see the Raiders, you know, overcome this little bump in the road. I want to see the second string Raiders quarterback see get things done over okay. Joe Flacco.
Okay. Seahawks, Rams. Battle of 3-1s.
I'm gonna take one over my team this time. I think the LA Rams have an incredible offense that are just gonna run over the Seattle.
Seattle's not 3-1, they're 2-2, my bad.
2-2, yeah.
Rams are gonna take it.
Right.
Okay. Packers, Cowboys. Wow, that's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, interesting game. I mean, man, Packers offense. You can't label that to one thing. You got, you know,
yeah.
Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers, Ty Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of great Marcus Bennett. You know, just a lot of great names in that lineup right there.
You're calling the Packers to win?
I'm calling Packers over Cowboys.
Oh wow! Thank you. Okay, and then Sunday night, Chiefs-Texans.
This is going to be another interesting game.
Good, interesting game.
Hot take, Texans are going to hand
Whoa!
The Chiefs their first loss. Yeah.
You think so?
I think Deshaun Watson has it in them, but...
Okay, I don't know if the Texans defense has it in them, but we'll see.
I want to hear your take on that game. That's a big one.
Oh, my take. I'm not allowed to think here.
Okay.
No, I'm taking the Chiefs over the Texans.
You think 5-0?
Okay. I don't think the Chiefs defense is good enough to hold down Deshaun.
Okay.
Chiefs are going to go 5-0, and it's going to be the score 21-14.
Okay.
Nope. 21-13.
That's fair. Missing the field goal.
No, they'll make it.
Okay. Wait, yeah.
Yeah, field goals.
Right,
yep.
Right. Yep.
I can't do math either. It's okay. We've all been there. And here we go. Last game, Monday Night Football, which I don't know how many people are actually going to watch. Vikings Bears.
Seeing Mitch Trubisky play instills like the slightest shred of hope in me that they can actually do well, but not gonna happen. I think he's too inexperienced at this point. He hasn't been played enough, which isn't his fault. I'm gonna pin that blame on John Fox and, you know, the rest of the offensive staff.
Jay Fox with the blame,
right? You know, I'm going Minnesota over Chicago.
Minnesota. Okay.
Great Lakes men.
We love the Lakers. And now the Timberwolves.
Jimmy G.
And Tom Thibodeau. Watch out.
West Conference, baby.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That was good. Okay. For the most part, I agree with your buys.
Okay.
I think the only one I would sell is your view on the
Texans Chiefs.
That's the only one.
That's fair. I just like having
And in case you were going to take the Giants over the Chargers.
Yeah.
The Broncos, I guess, have a bye week. So I can't worry about a loss.
You can't lose if you don't play.
That's right. Yeah. You ain't first, you're last.
Right.
All right. And then I guess to wrap up the evening here, let me just kind of give you some updates on who plays in our neck of the woods. Rock Valley, Golden Eagles. Ka-ka! That was like a toucan, less than an eagle.
Rock Valley Toucans.
The Golden Toucans.
Golden Toucans. Which would make sense because they're kind of colorful. But
yeah.
Right.
Who can? Toucan.
Oh.
Oh. And we can still keep the nickname the Nest because toucans are in the... Toucans can be in the... Whatever. All right.
I'll walk out.
Men's soccer. They are 6-6, 6-6-1. They've not won any games. Their last four games, they've all taken an L. So there goes my piece on a hot start to the season. And
right.
And now I kind of feel bad that it might be my fault. # Wilcox Chinks.
Right.
Anyways. So they play Triton College on Friday, and hopefully they'll be able to turn their season around. We'll see. 6-6, that's not a...
Yeah, let's hope.
Yikes. Women's soccer, 7-3-2.
Winning record.
Yep. Since last we talked, they tied at Madison College. They won against Harper College 2-1. Then they lost to the College of DuPage 0-1, which they are actually like the best team in their conference. And then they beat... Milwaukee Area Technical College, 7-0.
Ouch.
7-0.
That's an L if I've ever heard one.
Milwaukee probably had some sort of animatronic robot as their goalie.
Right.
Just, they also faced Triton College on Friday. So okay. We'll see if that winning record keeps going. And then women's volleyball, they're 12-13. They've taken 2 wins and a loss. So... they play Lincoln College here at home on Friday.
So awesome.
We'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
So women's soccer, still outstanding. Good for them. Hopefully they keep it up. Gosh, 7-0.
Keeping
that only
the hot streak alive, yeah.
Pads their goals average, goals per game, because it was like at 5.5 something.
Right.
They're pretty good. It's too bad about the men's, though.
Yeah.
Still time before it's time for tourney season.
A lot of games
season.
We played, a lot of season left. Well, that is going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us again. We are very appreciate your support in our little podcast
endeavors on Sports 360.
Right, making out in the big world out there.
We're trying.
So, effort's all there, man.
That's right. All we got to do is try.
Tunnel vision, man.
Unlike the Browns.
Right, yeah.
Ooh.
Ended it on a hot take. Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you guys next time.
Drive safe, and we'll see you.
We're out.
Bye.